Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everybody? My name is Connor Lawler. Welcome back to another week of Hero or Zero. This is the Heroes for Hire podcast. We are back again talking one comic book character, as we do every single week. We talk their good points and their bad points, and we generally just give you a bit of a rundown of everything to do with that character. As always, I am joined by my best pal, Mr. Sean Mead. Sean, how's it going?
I'm good, Connor. The caffeine finally wore off from my report last week, where I listened back to it. Really lost a run of myself about halfway through.
It did actually kind of sound like you had taken drugs.
Yeah, look, and I hadn't, unless you count life as a drug, in which case,
which you shouldn't, because it's awful.
It's awful. It's the worst drug there is.
This is the worst, I say, in the fields, surrounded by nature.
It's the worst. Well, the real worst thing, Connor, is DC superheroes. Get fucked.
What a time to fuck me up, but yes. So, I don't know if you've listened to Hero Zero before, but this is the show where I normally choose DC characters, Sean normally chooses Marvel characters, and we talk about them. They're normally characters you may not have heard of, or they probably have, but they're not as mainstream as Superman, Batman, Captain America, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Now, Sean, as he mentioned, he thinks DC is shit. That is our whole thing. Ha ha ha. This is part of the dilemma, the conflict.
It's the ruse we've set up that, we each think our company's better than the other.
It's like that's all those sports shows where you have to have alternate sides of the view. They're like, well, I think he's not a good player. Well, I disagree. I think he's a great... You can fill a whole hour with that.
It's like modern politics, Connor.
He's come in with a weird vibe this week.
Strange. I don't think it suits me, to be honest.
If you could give us a like and subscribe, whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on, would really help us out. But Sean, there's only one place to start, and that's obviously DC Comics and a character you have not heard of, but was created by possibly an all-star team of comic book legends in terms of writing.
Okay. How do you know I haven't heard of them, first of all, Connor?
Sean, it was the late 90s. It was a difficult time for DC. But they had just relaunched their Justice League Unlimited run with Grant Morrison writing it.
Wow, that's a home run right there.
That's actually a home run. But in 1996, the year before official launch, it was a big year. A very good year, Sean. But what happened was... Mark Millar and Grant Morrison came together to create a character for DC Comics who would be the new hero in the DC universe.
I don't think I have heard of this, actually.
Now, Mark Millar, Grant Morrison, two legends of this comic book writing. They've been involved in a lot of stuff. But what they have is they launched an ongoing series known as Aztec, the ultimate man.
The ultimate man.
Yes.
Wow. I haven't heard of this, which leads me to believe this character did not do very well.
10 issues. 10 issues.
From comic book giants.
But the best bit is the end, because coincidentally, Grant Morrison was also writing Justice League Unlimited, which is, of course, the biggest story in comic books at that point in terms of DC. It was fucking gangbusters. They were selling shit tons of them, right? And then his other character he's writing, nobody's buying, right?
Just tanking the whole
fucking
time.
It's a. Actually, no, I think they sold quite a few issues. I just think there wasn't a lot of interest in the character, right?
Right.
So, as the last issue of Aztec, Grant Morrison got him to join the Justice League. As a fuck you.
He was like, I know, I like this character. Fuck you, he's going to be popular. So,
Aztec's last issue, number 10, he joins the Justice League.
That's fucking hilarious.
Because Grant Morrison's like, what are you going to do? You can't cancel Aztec. You can't cancel Justice League, and I'm writing the Justice League.
He's part of it now. Like, honestly, it's a pretty good move.
He was created by... He's the brainchild of writers Mark Millar and Grant Morrison and artist N. Stephen Harris, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his first... obviously, you can kind of tell from the name Aztec. By the way, Aztec spelled A-Z-T-E-K.
So oh!
That's how you know it's cool.
That's how you know it's cool in 90s. This ain't your granddad's Aztec.
No. Your great-great-great-great-great-granddad's Aztec. This is the proper modern Aztec. And lasted 10 issues. And with its cancellation imminent, Aztec creator Morrison brought Aztec into one of the other comics he penned at the time, the JLA. So... Aztec served as a member of Morrison's JLA, both as an active member and then as a reserve member.
Just any time he feels like writing them, he can pull them back in.
Exactly. Aztec's origin. Ages ago, Sean, literally ages ago. I love that time frame.
In Ireland, that could be anywhere from last week to 40 years.
And this is more than 40 years.
My so, God.
The fettered god, Sean, I'm going to have to... I think you know how to pronounce this. Quetzalcoatl.
Quetzalcoatl?
Quetzalcoatl, of course, the god of light.
Yes, the Sean. Aztec god of light, Connor.
The Aztec god of
light. Sorry, do you want to know how I know how to pronounce that?
Go on.
Is because I read the Young Jack Sparrow books back in the day, and they had a whole Aztec book at one point.
You've lived a strange and glorious life.
I have indeed. I had few friends.
But lots of Jack Sparrow books. ages ago, yeah, the fettered god created a mask of power, right? Mm-hmm. So this god created a mask of power. This mask was passed down from generation to generation, overseen by the Brotherhood of Q. Now, in recent years, that letter has been kind of taken over by other things that are not very good,
Q.
Right?
James Bond, of course.
Of course, James Bond. But for this, we're all just going to agree, this was 1996.
Yeah, right? Q was still sound back in 1996.
Back then, Q was cool, right? So the Brotherhood had kept the mask safe and had trained countless generations of warriors to don the mask. So basically, what they're doing is they created this all-powerful mask. And for generations, they would train the greatest warriors one by one that they're ready to don the mask if the great shadow god came back, returned to the world. Then their warrior would be able to put the mask on, be super powerful, fight off the shadow god, everyone's saved.
Because Quetzal is the god of light. And it's exactly. Called Quetzal, it's easier. Can I just ask, being that it was the mid-90s and a comic book and... you know, a story about culture and tradition. Does this hold up well? Is this, you know, tastefully done?
It's not it's not as bad as you think it should be.
Okay, okay, good. Because I had my reservations there.
No, it's as far as I've read a bit of it. I mean, it, like, there are some things, obviously, but it's a lot better than it has any right to be.
Okay, for the time it was written.
I think Grant Morrison's a very talented man.
That is true. That is quite
ahead of
true.
His time. So as the ages progressed, the Brotherhood of Q expanded beyond Mexico, and they built hidden bases of operations around the globe. They also evolved the name, so it went from the Brotherhood of Q to the Q Gang to the Q Group, finally to the Q Foundation.
They deviated a bit too close to the modern Q Gang, but.
I think the Q Gang was there when Kool and the Gang were big. I think that must have been when they rebranded.
91? I don't know. When was Kool and the Gang big?
For 1 year, they were a Q Gang, and then they went to Q Group, and then Q Foundation.
Q Foundation's right? Pretty good.
Now, as the Shadow God, basically they constantly take Shadow God's coming, Shadow God is coming. They need to have a warrior that's going to be ready at all times to fight.
There's so all these secret messages, and we'll know when it's happening.
Exactly, right? So, a warrior was sent to a city known as Vanity City in the United States, where they felt that...
New York, right? Vanity City, sorry.
Yeah, I was thinking about itself, that city. named after you, Sean. If anyone doesn't know, Sean had a haircut this week. Confidence sky high. Better take him down a peg.
the old Irish tradition of getting too big for your boots.
Where they felt, they felt the battle would take place in this city. So they sent a warrior there, ready to go. So they send one of their best warriors, Emilio. However, Emilio falls in love with an American woman, and they have a child together. And obviously, Q Foundation, not happy with this, so they decide to kill Emilio, right?
Right, and the child gets to live?
The child is then seen as the next one up.
So it's like he fucked up, but the kid... Can now we have his replacement already sorted out.
So they prepared a son to take his place as the next warrior.
Okay, right? Understandable.
I thought you'd be. I think you'll be into this origin. I think this is kind of right up your street.
I do. It's weird mysticism. I do like it.
Meanwhile, the Q Foundation had extended its influence in the United States, so like it was getting bigger and bigger, soliciting funding from major financial players. Right. One of them, it had approached Dr. Thomas Wayne, Bruce Wayne's father. Thomas turned them down. He refused support. However, one influential businessman who did buy in Q Foundation, Sean, in DC would be...
Lex Luthor.
Mr. Lex Luthor thought, the Q Foundation sounds great. And he began extensively funding the Q Foundation, more than anybody else.
Now, is this for sinister means, in that he wanted control of the mask for himself?
Unlike other members of the Q Foundation, Luther did not believe in the Shadow God's return really in any way. Luther wanted a superhero in his own pocket financially should the need ever arise.
Just in case. He's got just in case superhero money.
Yeah. So Emilio's son was named Uno and he was next in line. And so he basically began trading since the day he was born. When Uno was ready, he was sent from the Q Foundation training facility in Mexico back to Vanity City. And so they're like, right, you're back in Vanity City like your dad did. Don't fall in love. You're now the hero and defender of this city.
Yeah. Easy. One rule. Don't fall in love.
My God, I always break that rule, Sean. They always do in movies.
Yeah, it's the easiest rule to break.
Uno arrived in Vanity City and quickly made a name for himself as the city's hero, with the city's paper dubbing him Aztec. Because obviously he's got a, yeah, with the K. Because he has the mask, he looks very Aztec-y, and they've got no other name.
He doesn't introduce himself after stopping the crime.
I will also say the mask gives him superpowers.
Okay, I was going to say, is it just he's a very good fighter or he actually gets extra powers from
No, he gets like all of the powers
like the
from
powers
the mask.
Of a
because
god.
The idea is that all of the warriors' souls are joined together to make this fucking mask.
That's excellent.
There's also a little bit of it that I think he can hear all of their voices constantly with the mask on. Like, so you have to like learn to control that.
Like Peacemaker's helmet, he hears all his victims.
Yes.
Cool. like that a lot.
Once again, only 10 issues, so really just trying to delve into this.
Just extrapolating a lot of information here, people.
Now, the city's former hero was called Blood Type, and he was a ruthless killer, even though he was a hero, right?
He had a tendency to be positive. Oh!
It's not getting any better than that. We're going to stop.
I'm really sorry. I didn't mean it.
Just also, the names are going to get worse because we have to introduce a bunch of new villains that are just made up for this 10 issues, right? Because Vanity City, new city. So you got to create new villains.
Whole new rogues gallery for Aztec.
Whole new rogues gallery. So Blood Type brutally gunned down a supervillain known as Piper. Right?
Okay.
Because he's such a good hero. Aztec tried to stop this guy, and he was just like, dude, you shouldn't be killing people. Unfortunately, in their battle, the entire building exploded, causing Blood Type to die. And with Blood Type dead, the PD chief, Chief Perrier welcomed Aztec as the city's official protector.
I don't think he has the authority to do that.
No, I don't think he has. He was just like, with him dead, you're the next one up. You're my cool guy.
He has a pair of like reins that he carries around with him, and he keeps like handing them off to various superheroes.
So as the hero of the city, he fought a shapeshifter named Sint, a technological supplier named Fixit, and Blood Type's deranged ex-wife, Death Doll.
Wow, a real who's who of might as well be copyright-free characters.
I like Death Doll. I think that's so ridiculous. And a technological supplier named Fixit.
That sounds more helpful than harmful, though, doesn't it?
No, but not nowadays with Jim. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. One of his primary enemies was British TV icon and Jimmy Savile.
Would have stuck around for longer than 10 issues. I would read 50 issues of him punching Jimmy Savile.
Oh, just over and over. Like, it's like a flip book. Like, you keep turning the page backwards and forwards.
And Blood Type comes back and just starts shooting him. It's fucking fantastic.
And he's cool with it this time.
They even teamed up with Green Lantern's Kyle Rayner, who we've covered here.
Yes.
Very good Green Lantern. I think that was just like, Green Lantern's in this issue. Buy it. Please.
Please, for the love of God, buy it.
Please.
I love drawing this Aztec character.
And like, he's doing the JLA at the same time.
Like, he's writing it, you know, widely regarded as one of the best runs of comics. And then just in the evenings, he goes home and scribbles away at this.
I'm gonna just fuck around and find out what happened to Aztec.
I'm going to call him Blood Type.
So as a secret identity, he took the Aztec took on the role of the murdered Piper. So he became Dr. Kurt Falconer. He even falsified his identity as a doctor at the hospital.
He didn't have to do that.
He didn't have to do any of that, but he did.
That's so unnecessary. That's just he's just waiting to be called. It's like Catch Me If You Can. Where it's
he
like,
goes
yeah,
into
I'm a
the
doctor.
Emergency room, and there's blood everywhere, and he's like, oh, fuck. Oh,
does anyone need me to jump really high? I can jump really high, guys.
Let me jump.
Just leaps out the window.
So there he worked under, there's a lot of names here that you don't really care about, but basically there was characters called Julia Frostick, Dr. Wally Mosley, and Nurse Joy Page.
That's a Pokemon character.
Yeah, pretty good. And obviously they all are like, who's this guy? He's not the real Kurt Falconer. But then some of them fall in love with him, some of them don't, and then most of them get kidnapped.
But wait,
certain points.
Wouldn't people be like, no, we worked with Kurt Falconer for years. He was a doctor at this hospital. He was a colleague and a friend.
He dyed his hair and changed his eye colour. What the fuck is the problem?
And just started flirting with everyone.
Everyone, he's really changed.
But he's not falling in love. There's no love there.
No. It's a pure animal lust. Aztec life's changed drastically with the appearance of a villain called the Lizard King. He was the new... And look, this is where they tried to like have a whole backstory so that this reveal would be shocking. But remember, this is only 4 issues in, so Grant's really stretching here with the shocking value, because the Lizard King was the new identity of Aztec's father's second in command.
Holy shit. The father that was killed because he fell in love.
Yeah, his second in command is now called the Lizard King and is evil. See, Sean, that lore, that's shocking. I'm shocked.
Why did he become evil, if you don't mind me asking?
Do you think I know that answer?
I thought, given that you were presenting
They don't have time. 10 issues.
He's evil. He needs to be stopped.
And you're like, who's evil? His second in command of his dad, who was in one issue. Do you not remember? It's so simple.
He was in a couple of panels, maybe.
it's a really burned into my brain. The Lizard King had a dream about the Shadow God and decided that Aztec could not face him, so he turned up and he killed Joy Page in order to capture Aztec and take the mask for himself.
Who's going to tell Brock? He's a crush on Nurse Joy in the Pokemon anime. There we go. It's all coming together.
I think it's getting further apart.
Try not to be negative. I can't
Oh, no, we can't go back. So what happened was he defeats the Lizard King and he dons the mask, defeats the Lizard King, and it's all shocking. But then shortly afterwards, the issues are coming to an end, right? We've got 9 issues in. And DC have politely told Grant that I feel like you're Grant and Mark Millar, remember, two fucking legends of the game, that they were like, you know, Grant, you are currently writing the JLA, and you could just spend more time doing that.
Yeah, you know, you're doing really well at that, and that's selling a lot.
That's selling a lot for us, and I feel like you're splitting time between Aztec and the JLA.
No, we like Aztec. Like, we have no problem with Aztec, but the JLA, though.
Yeah. So, they basically tell him he's got one issue left. And as a wrap it all up. And he's like, but I've got all these story threads.
Nope, tie it together. This is Game of Thrones Season 8. That joke will make sense in 30 years.
You will get it. Your kids are going to love it. So the Justice League.
It's your cousin, Marvin R. R. Martin.
So the Justice League was recently reformed around the Magnificent Seven at this point. My Grant decided to start a story where the Magnificent Seven had a drive for a new member. Aztec was one of the numerous heroes that applied for membership at the suggestion of Kyle Rayner, and while under consideration, he basically, Amazo travelled to Vanity City, looking for Professor Ivo, so Amazo, big evil robot who normally takes on all the powers of the Justice League. Aztec arrived to stop Amazo. And he held his own until the Justice League arrived. And so then they all turned up and were like, Jesus, this guy's pretty good if he's able to hold up against Amazo by himself and he's got all the powers of us.
Yeah, he's holding up against the whole Justice League, basically.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
And so he became the third recruit of this new league, and he was accepted in the 10th issue of Aztec. And then he appeared in the JLA as he fought alongside the Justice League for a very short time.
Oh, how short are we? More than 10 issues, maybe?
Less
than 10 issues!
While possessing, basically, Lex Luthor possessed a thing called the Philosopher's Stone. I need you to get on board with that.
Connor, already on board. No question here. Lex Luthor has the Philosopher's Stone. Absolutely fine.
Not the Harry Potter one.
No. Can turn lead into gold. That kind of Philosopher's Stone.
Good stuff. So Lex Luthor reorganized the Injustice League and was able to divide and conquer the Justice League. Using his ties to the Q Foundation, Luthor accesses the information stored in Aztec's helmet. Because, of course, he still owns Aztec, but Aztec doesn't know.
He is his main sponsor, yeah. There's a big LexCorp logo stapled across the front of the mask.
He's put like a recorder into the helmet when he was making it.
Right.
He made the helmet. Sorry?
He made the helmet.
He didn't, but I think he probably was just like, I'll just do some additions to
it. I'll study it.
So there was basically a thing that he downloaded all the information that was stored in Aztec's helmet, which is everything he's seen.
This is the information on souls as well, though, right? Of all the other Aztecs?
No, I think it's just things Aztec had seen at that point.
And which,
to keep it simple.
Fair. No more questions.
You downloaded everybody's memories ever. Oh, fuck.
He presses play and it's just screaming. So much screaming.
Including the access codes to the Justice League's watchtower, of course, that he has. So Luthor then uses the codes, and Sean, you're going to love Lex Luthor's plan here. He uses the codes to teleport over 12 nuclear missiles into the core of the watchtower.
Honestly, pretty good shout. You'll kill most of them, definitely. Yeah. Superman's
like
touch and go.
Does not fuck around. He's like, we could send one. Send fucking 12.
I have
Superman's
12. I'm
going
to use 12. I'm not keeping any back.
No.
This is when they're in space as well at this point.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's not just a tower in the middle of
Metropolis. No, it's in space. He's blowing them up in space.
So no civilian casualties, like, either.
No, it's just nothing but Superman dead.
I don't think 12 nukes would kill Superman.
Yeah, probably not. But it would kill everybody else but Superman.
Absolutely. Everybody else is dead. Mm. And then, like, even if... Because Batman will survive 12 nuclear blasts. He will do that.
Somehow.
But then he's stuck in space. What the fuck is he going to do?
So Luthor offered Aztec a deal. So he turns up and he basically reveals everything to Aztec. Like, dude, I fucking own you.
Yeah.
I fund the Q Foundation. And he's like, turn traitor and come work for me. And then you can be the leader of my new founded JLA from the ashes of the old team.
Oh, but Aztec, he's grown to love the team, surely. Mm. Whoa, no, he's fallen in love, Connor.
Oh, no. Luke Luke's like, I have to kill you now. Aztec refused and used his helmet to download schematics of the missiles, disarming all 12 of them in 4 minutes.
That's impressive, but does the powers of the mask help him disarm
missiles? Can I be honest with you, Sean? Can I be perfectly honest with you?
Go ahead.
They make up the powers of the mask depending on what's occurred in each issue.
10 issues, of course. So 12 missiles in 4 minutes. That's
He disarmed all four.
A minute. That's a missile every 20 seconds he's disarming.
He's fucking unreal.
Aztec man, best superhero, best man.
I think he's the greatest man. It's in the fucking title.
They didn't lie. Millar doesn't lie.
It actually is called Aztec : the greatest man.
That's actually hilarious.
Yeah. So while disarming the missiles, the rest of the Justice League defeated Luthor and his Injustice League. Knowing that Luthor had used him as a pawn, Aztec resigned as an active member of the Justice League. However, he remained on in reserve, just in case they ever needed him again. Sean.
Right, okay. So
and need him they
around.
Did.
Oh, I bet they did.
Aztec joined the JLA reserves when the Earth became threatened by an evil sentient doomsday. Oh, lads.
Oh,
it's an evil being known as Magadon, right?
That's a transformer.
While sleeping in Vanity City, Aztec was awoken by voices from his helmet, warning him that humanity's twilight draws near. And the voices in Aztec's helmet told him that the Shadow God was Megadon.
Oh, right? Fuck, that's convenient.
Interesting.
Yeah,
right?
They're so really Aztec wrapping decides, that up quick.
So Aztec decides, I'm going to go stop Malone. I'm going to fly out to space, take him out myself.
This is what I was built for.
Exactly. Aztec assaults Magadon as it's coming to Earth and barely escapes with his life. Like, fucking, he barely gets out of there.
Just gets bodied immediately.
So he comes back to the JLA embassy in America, beaten and battered, and Sean blinded. He was blinded by Magadon.
Man, there's something about when superheroes get blinded that just, it fucks with me. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
He's a barely conscious Aztec, tried to tell the Leaguers assembled as much as he could about the threat that he had just seen, that he thinks is the Shadow God, and flew up there all by his lonesome to try and stop him.
He fought the robot
Magadon.
Thing. No, but he fought the robot thing earlier, which was as strong as the Justice League.
Yeah.
Now Magadon has beaten him.
Yeah,
so
get shit over him.
The stakes are set, is what I'm trying to get at.
So it's like a sentient fucking like planet, basically, like Galactus style.
Like no, you're thinking of the big cloud, and I know you're thinking of the big cloud.
I am, yes. But he basically flew into it, and it cannot. This is his speech, by the way, when he gets back to the JLA. I flew into it. It cannot be argued with. It cannot be threatened. It will simply exterminate us, all of us. I saw one of its thoughts and was blinded in an instant. It's rising up from beneath our solar system. All my life, the Q Foundation trained me for this, to face the dark gods, and I failed. That's what he says to them.
Jesus. Pretty grim, pretty heavy.
So as Magadon arrived, it caused everyone on Earth to go crazy and assault each other, right?
Right.
So the Leaguers needed to split their efforts, basically preventing World War III on Earth, while also trying to deal with the big fucking space monster coming down to Earth causing World War III.
Right.
So they're basically split in two. So the League send Superman and Orion, who's like a really fucking powerful Leaguer himself, to space. And they're like, you assault Magadon, send the two fucking heavyweights.
Yeah, throw a few slaps at him and then scare him off.
A few slaps.
Yeah.
And then Batman, Wonder Woman, they deal with World War III. Makes sense. Yeah. Magadon quickly defeats both Superman and Orion, chaining Superman to its engine of despair. So Superman is chained into him.
Sorry, the engine of despair?
Yeah!
Oh, that's metal as hell.
So with Superman and Orion down, Aztec basically decides it's up to him again to go up there to try and help.
He's broken, he's blinded, but he's still going to get back up.
Yes. So he goes to try and fulfill his duty. This is what he was born for, forever.
Is this
so
actually the Shadow God then? Or like...
I think yes,
okay.
But also no. Using his helmet's onboard systems, he finds the broken Orion floating in space and heals him. The mask can also heal people that are close to death, Sean.
Busted. I can't wait to hear more about this mask.
He's got so many powers. The two then resume the attack, using Orion's boom tube to travel to the heart of Magadon. With Martian Manhunter supplying a telepathic link to both Superman and Batman, the lead tried to break Superman of his despair and to rip out Magadon's heart from the inside, right?
Class.
And of course, it comes to it that Orion has to cause a distraction. Aztec lands beside Superman, telling him, you're our only chance, you need to get out of here. Basically deciding, like, he was born to do this, but it's not his fight. He can't win.
Yeah.
Like, Superman's better chance than he does.
That's kind of cool, then. But he's happy to accept it once the thing is stopped at the end of the
day. So Aztec sacrifices himself, unleashing all of the energy in his suit in an explosion to hurt Magadon. And with Magadon hurt, his sacrifice basically brings Superman and Orion back into like full-on fight mode. And the two of them just basically begin to rip Magadon's heart out after it's injured through his explosion.
This is class. This is a very like 90s, early 2000s fight, but I love it.
Aztec was vaporized in the explosion, and that was the end of Aztec.
The greatest man gone in an instant.
But I knew it was metal as fuck, and I knew you'd like it.
Oh, that's a Dragon Ball Z fight, man. That's so cool.
Like, Superman and Orion get fucked. No, Aztec gets fucked, then Superman and Orion get fucked. Then he flies up blind. He's just, like, up there. And he just tries to bring the two of them back to life and just sacrifices himself to injure Magadon to give them a fighting chance.
Into one attack.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. I love Aztec. He's my favourite.
He's the greatest man. Right. Powers and abilities. Aztec dons the Mask of Warriors, a helmet created by that god, the Feathered Serpent, and the god of light. Thank you. The mask has been handed down from warrior to warrior over the generations. As each warrior dies, his or her consciousness becomes one with the mask, merging consciousness with the wearer and guiding their thoughts. He can also call upon the experience of all of his predecessors in any situation.
That's really cool. Not even that like he gets their power, but he gets their experience. That's a nice little note that they have.
Yeah.
Can I just say, he's a dumb character, but there is a logic to how he's written.
And well, that's what gets Mark Millar and Grant Morrison.
I hope it's all right.
Like, it's pretty good. It's just fucking batshit.
It's too far the other direction.
It's just so, like, it's so, like, fundamentally good for a character that doesn't need it. And there's characters that have, like, a way better look that their back origins are shit, as we've covered. And this origin is so good because it's written by two of the best for a character that didn't really need to go that hard for, but they did.
No, yeah, they could have 50%ed this and it would still have done as well as it did.
I mean, the helmet can literally do anything. So his armor and his helmet, it's a miracle of occult engineering. It can protect him, give him increased physical strength, transfer full motor control over to the helmet if the wearer becomes unconscious. The armor can camouflage itself, turning invisible. It can reduce his molecular density at any given point.
His molecular density?
Yes.
He can make his molecules less dense.
His gauntlets contain energy blasters located in the palms and launchers hidden in the wrist that can shoot wire nets, cables or mini rockets.
When did the Aztecs develop this technology?
I think Lex Luthor did a lot of enhancing. The chest piece is a power battery for the suit, and which can also be allowed a venting of highly destructive energy capable of destroying a city block. The battery also must be charged after it vents. His armor contains a feathered cape, the symbol of the god, which allows him to fly. Mm-hmm. The armor can also seal itself off, as allowing Aztec to travel through space with it.
Of course. It's Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, all rolled into one.
It basically can do anything. Like, he's done interdimensional travel, he's done space travel, he's indestructible, he can move his molecules, he can fly, he can punch, he's got laser arms. Like,
this is... It's, and he protects, like, this one small city. Vanity City. Whose previous hero was Blood Type.
who just had a handgun.
No wonder the fucking chief of police was like, yeah, no, you're in charge now.
He's seen this lad to come up and he's just like, fucking hell, Jesus.
He just like gives him his badge. He's just like, no, it's you.
It's like the little village from Hot Fuzz. There's only about 3 crimes a year in the fucking place. Yeah. And they've got this fucking god.
This fucking elite top tier hero.
They're like looking around like, I suppose if somebody like robs a handbag, we could send him out to fucking space. I suppose
we could just instantly vaporize them. That would
work.
We
could just vaporize them. Maybe we could just, I don't know, like, have laser arms. We could then maybe make his molecular density just so he can't be hit.
Wait, you know the way he's a doctor?
Yeah.
The mask heals people.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, he's also... Oh, I forgot he's also able to heal everyone. Yeah, he can heal people from up until certain death. Just a dash before certain death, he can heal you.
That, like a second away from death, bring you right back. Saved a man from the vacuum of space.
Orion was floating in space and he came up and he saved him.
That's pretty sound of him, isn't it?
Yeah, to be fair. But he can basically do anything or fight anything, and that's the best thing ever, the fact that he's fighting for that little fucking city that has no crime. And I like the idea that their previous hero, he was ran off his feet, but like Aztec, he is the greatest man in that city technically.
In most cities I would say he's probably the greatest man. It's like who's the biggest fucking hero? It's like having the sentry protecting like Smallville. Like, it's so unnecessarily strong.
You don't need it. Just like completely overpowered. But I suppose all criminals are just fucking terrified. Like, they just do not want to get caught because he can literally be anywhere.
That's true. Like, yeah, there is no escaping from him.
No matter what you do, like, he can fly, you literally cannot attack him in any way. And if you do injure him, he'll heal himself.
Yeah. If you are a human, you cannot hurt him. You cannot stop him. It's a real It's a real military state kind
of
situation.
The only time he's ever been injured is against Magadon, which also beat Orion and Superman.
It's the only one who's ever landed a hit on him.
Yeah.
And the only reason he died is because he killed himself.
Yeah, he killed himself to take out the fucking thing.
That's... I don't know what the DC power scaling is like. He seems like a character that just breaks it, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I think maybe that's why they killed him. But also, I'd like to see him and Superman fight. I'd be interested to know what happens.
Duke it out one day. Yeah.
I think he'd win because he can heal himself.
I think he would as well. And also, canonically, Superman fell in love, you know? So
true.
Destined
Weak.
To die.
Weak. Blood type would beat Superman.
Blood type.
Every day.
In a heartbeat. Heartbeat full of blood. What type? I don't know.
That's his phrase. He keeps walking in and saying it.
Heart type, heartbeat full of blood. That's how he leaves rooms as well.
And he's also a journalist, like in a secret identity. He just keeps shouting blood type as he types up a story. And then he keeps looking around and everyone's like, why the fuck does he keep doing that? Doesn't make any sense.
Why is he employed? Why does he have that gun? Why does he have
that
gun?
So weird. Why does he always carry that handgun?
He's brandishing
everywhere.
It around the office.
He's typing with it. Pressing the keys with the gun.
He's just firing. He's got targets on the wall. It has like a QWERTY keyboard.
When he has like a big story, he brings in a shotgun and fires like 8 pellets at once just to hit all the fucking panels at the same time.
The OJ case happened and he brought in a rocket launcher. So this is big news.
Oh man. But yeah, I think that's it for my report on Aztec, Sean. A character that I had not really done much research in, but it's fucking... The more I delved into it, the more I was like, this is the greatest character that's ever lived.
Genuinely,
only around for like 10 issues.
I really enjoyed learning about Aztec. He's so overpowered and broken that I think he's my favourite DC hero now.
Yeah, sure. I mean, what... I would like you to take us out, though, Sean. Sure. I mean, this is your time. I don't want to take it from you because obviously Aztec is taking everyone's mind away. Everyone loves Aztec now. They all hate you and all your Marvel characters. So
yeah.
I'm interested to see where you come back from this.
No, I'm on the same page. So thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Hero Zero. We will be back on Monday with Movie Mondays, Wednesday with Weird News Wednesday, and Friday with another episode of Hero or Zero. Now, a big thank you has to go out to everyone over on Patreon who continues to support our little show. Patreon.com/Heroes for Hire Podcast if you want to join us over there. We do movie reviews and things like that. I think we're talking about the first Ant-Man movie coming out in preparation for the sequel. So head on over there if you want to check that out. You can also go to the merch store, heroesforhire.ie/shop. Twitter is @HeroesForHirePod. The 4 is the number 4. Facebook is Detective Devilman's Discussion Group. Instagram is Heroes for Hire Podcast. And the best way to ever help out the show is to tell one human being that we exist.
Just a one, please.
And I think that's about it, Connor.
I think so. So I've been Connor Lawler.
I've been Sean Meehan.
And we are all big fans of Blood Type. Okay, we'll see you all next week.
Hell yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.